It seemed like it done the folks so much good the other night, or at least that's the way it appears. That's when I mentioned something about the present day happenings as to these things that are current. Many, many things I'd like to have said concerning a present day truth, because the Bible said it is a good thing that the heart should be established in the present day truth. Whereas all revelation is present day truth, but I mean as to something that pertains to your life and to my life in the hour that we're living in. This is really wonderful to know that we can actually know our own life. The prophets did not know their life, but we can actually know our own life. Now that is, not only can we understand the Old Testament as to the veil being removed, which thing they did not understand, and that is to see the heavenly order. And not only can we see as to the future, in that the Holy Ghost will show you things to come, but we have the ability in Christ Jesus to see day by day our step. Like Paul said, I went up to conference with Peter by revelation. And after about 3 years away with God, after many years of giving my life to study, the Lord showed me that I was still blind and was persecuting him. When he went away, the Lord took him for several years or more into the desert and revealed to him the revelation of Jesus Christ, which I very boldly but very humbly say, is the case with my life, that I was struck down and turned around and given the revelation of Jesus Christ. And one would say, well, you don't really know that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, a man knows when he's rich, he knows when he's poor, he knows when he's got an automobile, he knows when he doesn't have an automobile. And I know that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he gave it to me very explicitly. He gave it to me very thoroughly. He gave it to me from point A to point B, as we say. And I understand it because of his merits, because he's good and not me. I'm not good. He's good. I'm only good by his righteousness. So it is the coming of the Lord. In the book of Revelation, you read it, that when you read what John said, he said, and the time is at hand. And wherever the revelation is given, if you understand, if you'll go back, you'll find the time is at hand. Paul received it at Calvary, and Peter said, this is the end of the world. You know, the people upon whose ends of the world have come, John received it in the book of Revelation just a few short years after Calvary. He said, the time is at hand. Someone would say, well, then, Brother Pike, you believe that right then and there was the end of the world. Well, the time was at hand, and it was the end of the world to the extent that was just a few short years after Peter had made the statement, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. But then on the other hand, he was as to a reference of our day, the revelation for our day as to the end of the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the book of Revelation. And he was pointing to your time, that when the revelation comes, that's the end of the world. And, of course, when we say that, you know, the thing crosses our mind is to say, well, you know, the end of the world, Brother Pike, then everything's going to blow up. Well, yes and no, and it's true, everything will be burned and we'll tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet. But at the same time, I try to tell you that if that be the case, it's the way we judge the situation, then why isn't everything blown up? Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, and that was back at Calvary. Why isn't everything blown up? See, as I say so often, a lot of people just don't understand. They just don't understand. It's like a brother that comes to my mind who came to me yesterday. He said, 14 years, Brother Pike, I've been with you. And then he confessed that he really didn't understand, that he really thought he did. He said, but I know for sure that I don't. And of course, the reason he said that, because it was because that he said all of a sudden the Lord had made him to understand, and said coming to understand, he knew for sure then that he did not understand because of the things that God made him to understand. And the things that God made him to understand, he suddenly realized was what I had been saying. And he says, Brother Pike, it's true. And I've had a number of them of late come with the same similar testimony. But nevertheless, the time is at hand. Let him that is just be just still, and let him that is unjust be unjust still. I don't hardly know where to start when I've got a good congregation, got a good mind from the people, a good reception, an enthusiasm. And on Sunday morning, it is the privileged time is to be able to get over something to the people. Their minds are kind of, through the night, they've kind of washed their minds out of the interruptions of life, but still, it's not that long, considering the fact that we have to go from here to Atlanta, that is, to catch our plane. So I don't hardly know what to start on, but I am going to maybe read that scripture, maybe comment on one or two little things that's maybe just to ask you why. Now, first of all, it's just like the Lord give me his word according to what he gives me as his spirit when he wants me to speak. As I say so often, we just turn and he takes us to where he wants us to go. So when I turn to this, it turns to the 13th chapter of the book of St. Mark. And I would like to go to the book of Revelation for just a few minutes. I want to read this first little verse or two. So in the book of Revelation, this is chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, now, when I say the revelation of Jesus Christ, I want to remind you again, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is to say, Christ revealed in his season. And so he was revealed to John. That was the season. For I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and being in the Spirit is always God's season. No matter when, because God is not governed nor controlled by time element. Though you are, he isn't. He doesn't have to have a certain time to come, a certain time to go, a certain time to do anything, because with God there is no such thing as time. And the only reason there is such thing as time with you is because we observe times, days, seasons, these kind of things. Even Paul, when he received the revelation, he said to the Jews, I'm afraid of you. He said, because you observe signs and seasons and whatever. And he wanted them to learn to live by faith, calling those things that are not as though they are. Like Jesus, when he went to get some figs from the fig tree, there wasn't no figs because it wasn't even fig season. But after all, he made the tree. And the tree should have given him some figs. You know, whether it was any figs or not, the fig tree should have said, here, you know. And God would have made the figs grow on the tree. So I feel that way. It seems out of season a lot of times. But when the Lord wants to do something, we're supposed to do it. Many times before my wife learned to understand faith, I would go to do something. She said, but how are you going to do it? I said, well, I don't know any more than you do. And it's not important anyway. The Lord said, do it. And he said, go into all the world. And he said, do all these things. It's for sure he knew that I was a poor country boy to start with. And if he told me to do these things, then he must be planning to sponsor the trip and take care of these things. Whereas you know that's true. I come here with a barge pick, and these properties are paid for, and the great wonderful things from ships to planes and whatever. And the Lord has always paid for them. Even the property in Jerusalem, it's paid for. And outside of that, you, through your willingness, you've been able to give tens and tens of thousands of dollars to people around the world, to the hungry, to the poor, to evangelists, everything from tractors and trailers and tents and whatever. And like Brother Branham said one time, it comes to my mind, a lot of people are kind of like a little fish in the ocean. They're afraid to take a swallow because they're afraid they'll drink it all up. But when we consider the fact that the Lord feeds all of the species, as to them that are in the marine life in the ocean, and all of these that are in the jungle, as to the big beasts, the elephants, the lions, and the hippopotamus, and all these other kind of things. And then he feeds mass humanity across the world, every last one of them. And then we're still afraid that if we don't go on Monday morning, we're going to starve to death. This is why that he said, take no thought for what ye shall eat or drink. You know, the little lily, the birds, these things I take care of, I feed them. You can't do anything, even adding a cubit to your stature, nor turn one hair black nor white. So why take thought for the other things? If you can't do the little things, why take thought for the big things? So when we consider the fact that this is true, then we see the stars, the moon, the earth, and all these things. And then our mind goes back to the garden, and we think, well, here's Adam and Eve. It's for sure that they didn't have no industries, and they didn't have no colleges, and they didn't have anything to rely on, you know. It was just, and yet everything was just plush. They had their heart's desire. So see, it's not as to God the problem, but it is to us. See, because God knows how to handle the situation, but we've got our minds so programmed with the tree of knowledge and to self-esteem, and Satan has so interrupted our life and interwoven himself with us until we're like a bunch of robots. You know, the Bible said, and he takes us into captivity at his will if we're not children of God. And everything is just a chaos. He's trying to run it, and I don't mean this, you know, in a derogative way, but he just doesn't have enough sense to do it. Let's give the Lord a hand. See, the Lord knows what he's doing, but the devil don't know what he's doing. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I think he's doing a good job. What makes you think he don't know? Because the Bible said that he's the author of confusion. Does anybody that's confused know what they're doing? Let's give the Lord a hand. So, the Lord, he knows what he's doing. And this, I fellowshipped him for a long, long time. And I have to admit that whenever he does it, it's done right. So let's read chapter 1, the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that is unto the Lord Jesus Christ, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. So knowing that the time is at hand now, I want to comment on just one or two little things and drop. I won't be able to go through a whole lot, but as to bring some thoughts to your mind, is to consider whether or not the time is at hand. He says in the book of Revelation, again, I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things, chapter 22, verse 16, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecies of this book, or the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then, with this, we go back to the 13th chapter of Mark. Now let's just read. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, David Paul was telling me the other day, we was having a little discussion, and he was telling me, he said, you know, Dad, he said, the words of Jesus, where there's not one stone left upon another. Some of you have been there with me. You know it's for true that it's not, that they are always cast down, just like he said. And David said that they actually found that they had inlaid gold in between the stones, and people so mad after gold that they never left one stone upon another. So they took every last one of them and scraped them to get the gold off of them. So the Lord knows what he's doing when he prophetically speaks or looks down through the telescope of times as prophets and whatever since the foundation of the world, knowing what future will be, or that he hath made it that way so his prophecies will be fulfilled. Reading on down a little bit more, it says, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. That's the first thing he says. Be careful. Don't just be nonchalant through life. Think about these things. Don't just listen to any preacher. Don't just listen to anything. Don't just go to any church. Don't say, well, bless God, God's good, and I'm going to heaven, and just do any way. He said, take heed. That is, listen. Lest any man deceive you. The Bible said, and give them orange teeth to the things that you've heard. Lest at any time let them slip. And also, take heed to how that you hear them. As to incorporate these into your lifestyle. So he said, take heed, lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. All that is to say, they'll come saying that they are Christ, as to Antichrist. But on the other hand, they will come saying, I come in the name of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. I want to tell you this and thus. This is his message and whatever. But Jesus said in that day, I said, I never knew you. They said, but we prophesied, Lord, in your streets. He said, I never knew you. So take heed, lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. Whereas we've heard of all these things. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places. Of course, these things we're hearing about with a regularity, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows, and sure enough, we've entered into the beginning of sorrows already. It's very obvious that the end time is here. Ravishing little ones, stealing them away, children, killing, all these kind of things. But take heed to yourself, for they shall deliver you up to councils. We're doing that right now. In that time, when the RAS and all the other, and Jim Jones and all this kind of things, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Well, the gospel is about published among all nations, but satellite and whatever. We ourselves have helped some in the satellites and television, the missionary journeys and whatever, literature. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against the parents and shall cause them to put to death. As a matter of fact, it's just been the last few days that on TV, they had numbers of children that had killed the parents, and they were interviewing them as to why. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And that, of course, is coming about because they're boycotting in their little Trinitarian way. Even as to this Trinity broadcast around the world, and they're pulling everybody they can into it, as together the daughters of the great whore in a charismatic way, no holiness whatsoever, and just to gather money as to go into all the world, and with this, because they will not follow the Lord, then all of a sudden they will find themselves without Christ and find themselves without the anointing, even though the anointing is upon the unjust right now, and the rain poured out on the tare and on the wheat. And they're going to find out that when the church goes out, they're going to be in total eclipse, no light, darkness, not even enough, as I say so often, to even perfect a bottle of medicine. And then we're going to know that all these other things and hospitals and medicines and all these kind of things was only a reflection of the light of the church and the understanding of the children of God, even as Egypt reflected it when they went down into Egypt as to reflecting the understanding of Abraham. And as when it was said that the children would go into Canaan after their journey as to Egypt, as to the wilderness, as to across the Red Sea, that these people will be afraid of you because of your great knowledge. And so civilization went down into Egypt, as with Abraham, and then Canaan was established by the great wonderfulness of God. As I say, through the wilderness, their feet did not swell. They did not have any problems. About 3 million people or more, and they were led out victoriously, and they were of great understanding, yet they had no colleges. They were taken care of in every way, like Adam and Eve in the garden, even manna rained down from heaven, but they did not have to do anything except honor and obey the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, and my blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. I'll give you the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in me. And if you'll confess your sins and forsake your sins, whatever you do shall prosper. And you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water and living water. And you'll bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves will not wither. Whatever you do shall prosper. So then we see right here, the Lord is telling us that during the time of all of these things, there will be troubles, there will be problems, but that we don't have anything to fear. As in the land of Goshen, during that time of the devastation of Egypt, the children were protected and cut off in another place. You'll be hated of all men, but if you'll endure to the end, you'll be saved. Now listen real close. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let him that be in Judea flee to the mountain. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take of his garment. We're going over to that place right now. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, and pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Now think about what a wrath. Paul said when they did what they did, he said to the Jews, he said, having rejected God, you killed the prophets, and you have stoned the wise men, and now the wrath of God has come unto you unto the uttermost. Then was he telling the truth? For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto the time, neither shall be unto the uttermost. And so God has everything lined up, just like as in the days when the scuds were falling. Mr. Betty and I was there doing Dozen Stone, and during the time when the scuds were falling, it was terrible. The people were paranoid, and they just longed to have a friend and a word of consolation. And I had seen in a vision, and in the vision, I was a prophet to Israel. And David Paul was with me, and he was a commander. And I know that the true Jew is the Jew here, as to a spiritual Jew. And I know I'm a shepherd here, and David has been a leader here. But also as to that, and it was fulfilled some of it, as a couple of visions while we were there in Israel. And even when we went down the street of Dolorosa, as to say, the time is at hand. And I know that... it's a terrible time right now. I realize it's a terrible time. And I know the end of the world is here. I know that. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Now remember that. After the tribulation. So I want to say, well, when is the world going to blow up? When is all these things going to happen? It said, and after those days, after those days. And we can take you right to it if we had time to go to it and show you. After those days. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Let's just check something right quick now. Just taking a few minutes with you this morning as to maybe stir up your pure mind, as the Bible said, your pure mind is the mind of Christ. It says here, the 7th verse, chapter 1, Revelation again now, speaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Notice now, he said, and behold, he cometh with clouds. And we could say a lot about that into Revelation 2. We see then in that telling us that the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. It's obvious that this is going to have to do with the bombing. It's going to have to do with the atomic powers. And we can prove that if we had time. So, and then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When a branch is yet tender and putteth forth the leaves, ye know that summer is near. Now when we read this, you know, a lot of times, failing to rightly divide her, and as the eunuch said to Philip, not having anybody to teach us, we don't understand it. But it said, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming. And of course, when we think about this, we think that we're going to see the Son of Man coming. And of course, he will come. And it said, and he'll send his angels and gather together his elect. And then, of course, he will. See, but a lot would have to be said about that to understand what he said. So we see the parable of the fig tree. Knowing that that has to do with the Jews, has to do with springtime and the resurrection. See, and he said, when you see these things happening now among the Jews, and the Jews keep coming into the picture and things happening, then you know something is ready to come. Summer's near. That is to say, life is going to bud out, resurrection. The cold winter's over. Life's coming back to the trees and the flowers and whatever in the grass. So when you see these things, he said, so in ye in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the door. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. I don't have time to comment on all of these. Heaven, I'm just kind of running through right hurriedly now to say a few things I'd like to say. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servant, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Okay, he says right here, folks, he said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father, that is to say, not the body, but the Spirit. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. But in the book of Revelation it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the word of this prophecy, and keepeth those things which are written therein, for the time is. So, it is again found as to where? In the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then it makes us to know some things, whereas when Jesus was preaching and they said, why do you speak to these people in parables? He was speaking in parables. No one knows when the time is. And they said, they don't understand what you're saying. He said, it's not given unto them to know, but to you. It is given that that day should not come upon you unaware. When you see these things, know that it's nigh even at the door. I say again, if somebody was knocking on the door, that's as close as they could get without coming into the building. And so then that means that things are happening, and people do know and do understand many things, perhaps that you don't know. And the devil, he'll just play around with your mind and spirit and tell you all kind of things, and you'll have all kinds of things preached to you for years, and then all of a sudden, as the brother was telling me, all of a sudden, he said, it isn't like that at all. It isn't like that at all. Very intelligent man. Now, let's just run over here just a little ways to the book of Revelation in another passage of Scripture, because like I said, if I get into ministering, I'll have to go and go and go. It's a long, long time of a lot of things. But let's just drop over here. Because my heart is enlarged to you is what I'd like to share with you. But let's look at something here. Chapter 10, the book of Revelation, chapter 10, the verse 7, it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophet. I remind you one more time, the Bible said, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the original rendering of this, as to the Greek, goes back to not mystery, but secrets. He that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret places of the Most High. And then it comes to Revelation 11, and it says here, he will sound. In the 15th verse of the 11th chapter, he sounds. Because it said, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. When did he sound? Obviously, right at the end of the world, it says, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. And the nations were angry. And you can believe, brethren, they are angry right now. And thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. You know, I just wished it was where we could just take days, just talk to you and explain all this through the book of Revelation of why these things are said like that and what these things have to do with. But see, there when the angels sound, again, the time was at hand. All right, now, to just show you a little something here that perhaps many of you are already familiar with. Chapter 4, the door was open in heaven and John went up. Now, the seals were loose And then we find in the sixth seal of the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, we find the fulfillment of Jesus' words. Think now, this is only a few short years after Calvary. 96 A.D. in John's exile to the Isle of Patmos, little rocky island. You can find it on your map if you located it. It's off of Asia Minor, and there he's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, there for the testimony of the Lord Jesus. They've exiled him. 33, as we'd say, potentially the death of Jesus. But here we are. Jesus is talking, and this is before his departure. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Verse 25, chapter 13. All the way to the book of Revelation. And we see when the sixth seal is open and the heavens departed as a scroll. 13th verse, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So again, we see these stars falling. We see the fulfillment of this great, wonderful Messiah's prophecy. And then we would say, when then will this happen, or where? It's in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And on we would have to go. But I just brought these things to your remembrance just to make mention of just two or three little things here. And that is, let's just look for just a moment. Let's just look. Hussein in Babylon, and he failed. Gorbachev and Russia, and he failed. And the many, many things we've said about these things. Mr. Bush, a great and mighty hero of America, and yet his popularity all the way down, and he failed even as he was over there. Not only with the popularity, but to the extent he said, just rolled me under the table after he had vomited. And was passing out. And then Mr. Shamir, all of a sudden, I write him a letter, and a day after I write him a letter, and his whole organization as to his party is crumbling. And all around the world it goes. Leaders, PTL, all around the world, natural, physical, spiritual. All these leaders are falling. The lights are going out. And then at this particular time, when all of them are falling, having written some of them, and the Lord impressed me to write others, whether in the religious world or whatever, now all of a sudden, talking to them about these things, which said, little Bethlehem, the babe being born upon his shoulders shall be the government, and out of Atlanta, Georgia, it shall happen, as to what would take place, and that the government would shift to Atlanta, Georgia, and that from that, the waterway would come, and then all these things happened, and then Atlanta, Georgia, which was a little place, comparatively speaking, as to the great, wonderful nations of the world, or the cities of the world and the nations, that all of a sudden it would become an international city and would become one of the greatest in all the world, if not the greatest in all of the world. And sure enough, it sprang up now, as I said the other day, that you... Everything comes to Atlanta. It's the crossroads of the world, and it's a little saying you can't even go to heaven unless you come by the way of Atlanta. And she spread out in such a terrific way. And she's probably the most admired, most interesting, most desired city in the world to visit. Mr. Bush was there in the last day or two as to the honor of Martin Luther King. In this, I made the statement. I said Stone Mountain is very, very outstanding. It has something that is really outstanding as to what it denotes, and that they will find someday that it reaches all over the world. And, of course, we had Bill York. Bill is the kind of feller, he's kind of like he's from Missouri, the Show Me State, so you don't tell Bill nothing unless he finds out. You know, having a college degree and spending his time among the elite and the different ones. Well, anyway, Bill, he started searching on his own. He didn't tell me anything. He was going to prove whether or not I was right or wrong. Well, that's good, you know. And in so doing, he come up with a book called The Seven Last Mysteries, which I have. Bill gave it to me. And to his utter amazement, he said, this thing says and proves that Stone Mountain is connected to the mantle of the earth and reaches all over the world. Which, of course, was what we said. Now, so then it denotes a great thing. It has great meaning, great profound meaning. And we've tried to do our little bit. Satan has hindered us. He's hindered us through everybody that he could hinder us through. Because everybody has a human mind, and that mind is enmity with God. It's a carnal mind, which means of carnal things. A lot of times you say the carnal mind, a lot of people don't understand what you're saying. They think that's something that's real foreign that they don't have. But Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual things, shall I not reap of your carnal, your automobile, your house? As to your face, your body, your things, whatever they might be, they're natural, they're carnal. And there's nothing wrong with it. If you want an automobile, two automobiles, three automobiles, it don't matter whatever it takes. I've had tractors, trailers, automobile, trucks. I give away two or three, and then two or three, four, five, six more come right in just continually. See, God doesn't care about those things as to how much you have. But the one thing he warned against is you cannot be carnal minded. You can't do it. You can't be money-minded. You can't be passion-minded. You can't have your face on your mind and your body on your mind and your wife on your mind and your children on your mind and the things that you've got on your mind. Those things are precious to a wise man. The Bible said his substance is precious unto him. He looks after them. He takes care of them. He watches after them. He doesn't beat his wife around, you know, and slap her around and curse her and snort. He acts like he's got some sense. He doesn't act like a caged up animal. But the one thing that a Christian will not do, and that is they will not be carnal minded. You know, if you just got good common sense, you won't slap your wife around. But a Christian won't be carnal-minded. Now, a little babe doesn't understand. They play with the toys. That's to the toys of the world, the children of the world. You know, that's their toys. And sometimes coming out of that, you've been used to that. It takes a little time to convert over. But you eventually will quit playing with the natural things of the world from one thing to everything. And you'll get away from that and realize how childish that is and get your mind on heavenly, eternal things, realizing that you are a God. That you actually are a God. And in that you are a God, then that means that everything is yours. And you don't have to run off in a corner as to my four no more. All things are yours, whether in this world or the world to come. And you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. And God enjoys all of his creation through you as an abundance of life. So, this is why the creature was subjected to vanity by reason of hope. And we'd have to go into a lot of things to explain that. But we just want to get to our thought. I read to you when you see the abomination of desolation as to the tribulation. And I proved to you that this was in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, if someone should have the revelation of Jesus Christ, even as Paul was, then that means that he would know somewhat of what was going to take place as to those times and seasons. And Paul being the overseer of the Gentile church, it would make us to know that we should know as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the Bible said, you have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. And Jesus said, what my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. And you say, well, what would that be? All things. Let's give the Lord a hand. So, in this, now I ask the question, because I'm going to have to evade the thoughts of a lot of things I'd like to express. Let's just look at Atlanta. All of a sudden it happened. Then the vision from people all over the world coming to look down upon it. If you couldn't receive that vision and believe it for no other reason. What about the Olympics coming to Atlanta, Georgia? And all the world coming to the Olympics. And even besides that, people are looking down upon it everywhere because they are wanting to invest in it. And as of late, numbers of outstanding businesses shifting from even places as big as Memphis, Tennessee. So I saw them look upon it. I saw them want to invest. I saw them frown on it. And then she's become an international city. I said a number of these things to some of you the other night. Now the question is this. Why did it become an international city all of a sudden? When I said the government would shift from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia, why? My little Adam, he always says, Peppo, why? No matter what I say, he says, why? So then why? I ask you the question, why did Atlanta, Georgia become the crossroads of the world? To bring everybody from around the world to Atlanta, Georgia at one time or another if they're going to travel. See why? Why is it that Stone Mountain is there? And It is attached to the mantle of the earth.
Why?
We got the great Rockies. That should have been sufficient. But it has another significance as we bring out on tape or in our sermons. Now, why is it, if that doesn't intrigue you to the extent of stirring your mind, then why is it that as to Mr. Reagan, as to Mr. Carter, as to Mr. Bush, Mr. President, these things that we've spoken of as to these three outstanding world-renowned figures, why is it that it happened the way that we said it would happen? And Mr. Bush went in and overthrew communism. As a matter of fact, Philip was telling me last night that he has spoken to his daddy about this in the past, and he reminded his dad when it happened. Now, why is it? See, why is it that Mr. Carter served as to one term and did not serve as another term? Why? He was the outstanding man. All of the people seemed to cater to these three men. But why was it? And I wish we had time to fill in some details as to the prisoners being loose and the different things. But then the question arises, why did he not go another term and all of a sudden he has become deeply interested in a coalition as to, let's use the word, a Western alliance. Because the terms is used as when it is said that the economy and the things of the world as to one market, they're all shifting to Europe. And in this year of 92, everything's ready for the world monetary medium of exchange as to one money. And that to the mark, as we said, mark coming in through the Germans. Why? And then Mr. Carter, all of a sudden, he starts a coalition of all of the ex-presidents. And I told my wife, I said, that's not what it is, buddy. I said, Mr. Carter is not gone. I told some of the brethren a long time ago, I said, there's still something for him. Well, all of a sudden, why is it that he has done this? First of all, I say, knowing that those people are going to drop from office, they need a voice. And he himself dropping from office right in the middle of the escapade of life as to what he desired to do and ask him to prolong that thing a little longer, they wouldn't do it. And so all of a sudden now he starts him something on his own in White, Atlanta, Georgia. I said, he's after all the leaders of the world. And now we read a little article in the paper, 200 leaders comes together in Atlanta, Georgia from 158 countries or ever how many it was. And Mr. Carter's the head of it. Why? The ex-president of Nigeria showed a picture of him and Carter together. Why did we meet him on the plane? Why did we have the vision of him coming here? Why? Just something for you to think on while we're gone. Why is it that Mr. Carter took a number of tractors and trailers and took the literature as to the books and whatever out of the White House, as you would say, and he brought them to Atlanta, Georgia? Who ever heard of a president doing that? It was the government shifting. And Mr. Carter intended to do what he asked them permission to do when they would not let him do it. If they was not going to let him do it, he'd just shift the thing down to his hometown or down near Atlanta, Georgia, and he'd just shift the government and go right on because this was his purpose and program. And why is it that he did that and then all of a sudden here in Atlanta, Georgia, which has never been, nor in any other city that I know of, why did they put the international building as to world conference? Why did they do that? And why was it that if Mr. Carter didn't have something in the back of his mind, having been working through Kissinger the way that he did, why is it that Kissinger, though it had never been done before, all of a sudden he has a world colleague here in Atlanta, Georgia, and they have their first great mighty conference where they're supposed to have it in Washington. They brought it to Atlanta, Georgia, and the leaders came to Atlanta, Georgia. Why? And why did Mr. Carter follow through to continue the same thing? Why? See, and another thing is, when we get down, as the world says, to the nitty-gritty of the thing, why is it that Mr. Carter happened to be in Babylon, there where they were partying, just before Mr. Hussein raised to power? And why is it that the Jewish people, as to the college students, why did they crown Mr. Carter when others wanted to stone him to death? when he was over in Israel. About the same time that we got a few stones stowed at us. Why was that? Or why is that? And then again the question arises, if we have the answer for those things, as to any satisfaction, why is it that Mr. Carter is from the plains of Dura? When he spoke of Memphis and what it had to do with as to Egypt, sure enough, they brought the statue of Ramesses up there, made a duplicate, and now they got two pyramids there. One of them covers about 6 acres dedicated to Elvis Presley, and all of a sudden Elvis comes back into view as to being put on the stamps as to a seal. Why? And they discovered, sure enough, that the river there that runs through Memphis, my son-in-law determined to find out. He found out that, sure enough, there was a thing that happened as to an exclamation, and all of a sudden, it was the river as to the name taken from Egypt. Well, anyway, here then we look at Mr. Carden. I know I'm going to have to hurry. David Paul probably calling me. But why is it that Mr. Carter is in the plains of Dura? And Dura, I said, has to do with Babylon. As to the image 666. Why is it when we said the government would shift to Atlanta, Mr. Carter comes up? All of a sudden, what is the government? Government is of the people, for the people, and by the people. Whereas it is stated in the Constitution of the United States that if any time it is found that the Constitution is misused as to a breach in it or that it becomes corrupt, it is the duty of the people to dissolve it and start another constitution. Why did little Bethlehem come into the picture, and why did my brother see it as the White House? And why is it near Mount Vernon as to Washington's birthplace? And why is it that as to Sister Betty's prophecy as to Mr. Bush afterwards going into the office when there was as to a signing of some documents that are documented in that we are legally, lawfully, a legalized operation throughout the world for world evangelism and world enterprise and are protected by the government as a governmental branch. And yet we are sovereign. We don't call on them for anything, though I could call on them for hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars to build complex or anything I want to. Surpluses or whatever, but I've never done it. I've just always done what we were doing on our own. Now, why is that? Not too far across the way, a friend of mine come over. He's called on and built some beautiful complex. He's got them over there in Athens. But see, why is it that it is like this? See, why is it that it is in the plains of Dura that Nebuchadnezzar gets in the problem, goes out to the beast, and it is in the plains of Dura that Daniel sees the visions about the tribulation period and spoke of the coming of Messiah 483 years later, and then 7 years following that as the 483 to make up the total of the 490 determined upon thy people, Daniel, which is the Jews? Why is it that all of a sudden here, Mr. Carter is in Babylon. Mr. Carter, at the fall of Gorbachev, who they projected as a falling star, a red star, his people on the page of the newsprint there looking. Why? Russia's not heaven, as you would say, unless you understand something. Neither was Mr. Gorbachev a star that was in heaven, unless you understand something. Them folks are starving to death. See, why? God working all things after the counsel of his own will, willing to confirm the things that he's being said, that is being said by the Spirit, whether through me or you or whoever around the world. Far as the land of the midnight sun, he's took me, Betty and I, some of our followers, to establish and to bring about the revelation of the Lord Jesus. See, why is it that here at the calendar time, there's only about 7 years left from 93, whereas it takes 7 years for the tribulation period, and everything is happening, the beginning of sorrows, the hour of temptation, and all of a sudden we're going into 92, and Mr. Bush's administration is terminal at the end of this. Why is it that all of a sudden America has fallen and she's not at the head of the Western Alliance anymore after almost 50 years. And how is it just about the time of that that Mr. Carter has started another alliance? As to the Western Alliance, and 200 people attend, and out here in Atlanta, Georgia. Why is that? Could it be that one head is moving and another head coming in? Someone would say, well, what do you mean? Mr. Bush, the woman went up, as in Japan, the eastern sunrise, the yellow people illuminated, Revelation 12, the catching away, Jesus appearing in glory, and she was spotlighted. Mr. Bush went down. Of course, this has to do with Jesus and the Christ. Mr. Carter had to do with Jesus on one side, that drew the little picture, his beard, called him JC, as to Jesus Christ. And then on the other side, he had to do with Christ after the fall. And why would it have to do with Christ when there's an Antichrist is coming? And if everything is in the natural, why is it? Why was he going to Pikes Peak as to where we had purchased our property, or in the areas of the Rockies there when we met him on the plane, when we were headed for a certain place, as to revelationally speaking? Now, why is it that things are centering around the tribulation with Mr. Carter to the extent that he hath invited Mr. Gorbachev, the man with the mark on his head? We've got Dura, we've got the plains of Dura, we've got 666, we've got Atlanta, where I saw the devastation as to the fire, the bombs and whatever. And now all of a sudden the crown was lost as to the crown prince in the eastern sunrise of Japan. And the woman was illuminated. See, why is it all of a sudden there was a fall, even as Jesus went to Calvary, and down he went, and down he went, and down he went, and then the popularity was regained, but as to a prolonged season. See, we just don't have time to comment on it. But the thing is, what has happened? Someone would say, well, a new head? Well, he never did serve his other term, which is unusual. And when we say a new head, why is it that he is referred to at times as the bastard child? Well, that's what they call Jesus. Seeing that this was an act as to a thing that was degraded, as to a maid and to the father, and he was kind of an outcast, and he belongs to the Kennedys, as to Joseph, who made the world drunk by imported whiskey. And why is it that Kennedy, according to the predictions that we made of 63, 66, Pope coming over with the darkness just a few days ago, Washington went into darkness again. Why is it that it was the Kennedy head that was smitten? And should he be a Kennedy, why would that be? The Bible speaks of something we spoke of the Pope, and they said he had a deadly wound. I said to be healed. It was healed. When they thought he was going to die, the publishers of the paper said a deadly wound. The head's fallen, the deadly wound being healed. For they've been such preeminent figures in America to do what they wanted to. They've controlled it. Money powers. Now, why is it that Kissinger's involved when the Bible said, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And he had all of these people upset as to the Jews because of the way that he went about and his way of eating things that wasn't supposed to have been eaten, or at least not on the days that he ate them. And the Jews got upset about it. Why did Kissinger make the statement that the man that was going to have full control of everything throughout the world had to have a little rest, and he was just sitting back for a while? He did not work successfully with anybody but Jimmy. Now, why is it that Mr. Gorbachev is to the tree of knowledge and having the mark on the head as to the beast thing, as to the fallen star, comes to Atlanta? Why didn't he come somewhere else? Who has ever heard of a president doing that before and going straight to the old tree of knowledge, invited by Jimmy to be a teacher in the college in Atlanta? Why? See, and on we could go of so many hundreds of things. Why? Concerning Mr. Carter more and more. Why? Why is it that he has all of a sudden, he wants to do everything he can for the poor, he said. And yet the Bible speaks of coming in by flattery. Why? And why is it that he has favored Martin Luther's father and mother so much and so regular as for numbers of years? And why is it all of a sudden when Mr. Bush's popularity falls, Thomas goes into office, and then he comes to lay the wreath on the tomb of Martin Luther? Why? It indicates gross darkness covering the people, and the time has come that the government has fell into the intellectual darkness, and the heads are now falling. And why is it that this flag of little Bethlehem that went to Mr. Reagan's, that he received so very greatly, having wrote us, sent back the contact of his appreciation, and we got it, while the big white tent as to what it had to do with was setting over in Eden, when we speak of the garden? Why? And now four flags are going out immediately, one to Mr. Bush, one to Shamir. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And why was that inaugurated as to chartered and governmental rights at the very time we spoke of the end back in the year 66, when Brother Branham was killed and darkness from that time covered America, and the Pope, the papacy came at the same time, along about then when Mr. Kennedy, through Dallas, where Brother Taylor and I just come through, was shot in the head. And Brother Branham, when it happened, why? And why is it that now they've got a big stir over Elvis? See, again and again, folks, why is it that all of these things are happening, and why is it that just 1 year is left until 93? And 93, calendar-wise, shows the beginning of the end. Why is it? Someone said, well, it'll never happen. That could very well be. God doesn't go by calendars nor times. And Antichrist has shifted the calendar dates, even with the Julius Caesar thing. How they say there's 3 years offsets as to the birth of the Lord Jesus, as to the B.C. and the A.D. And God suffered that, as I said, so that you would not know the day nor the hour, because if you did, you'd tell your relatives, your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your daddy, and everything else, if you was a Christian, that they had better get ready. You'd hammer on them till you got them to do something, and God doesn't want them to know. Except they come the same route as you, for that day shall come upon them unawares, as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth, for they will go into total eclipse and darkness. He doesn't want them to know. If they have the love of God, it will show themselves, and they will rally accordingly. But anyway, David's signaling for me to go. And now, I ask you the question, why not think on these things? See, why is it? A lot of times you look at a yellow man, a black man, a white man, red man, and each one looks at the other as a freakish sort of a thing. But I tell you, it's only a pigment thing. It's a little color to pigment that God gave so that he could use people through an allegoric means of one man representing one thing and another man representing another thing. As the black man in the third dimension here represents darkness, it relates back to the Jews. And the Jews, they're God's clock in the night. Like going down to Ethiopia, getting those black Jews down there. They've got a great settlement. We've been through there. Fine places to live, the West Bank, everything is covered with immigrants. The Iron Curtain broken down, and here comes the Jews and the resurrection of the dead. All these things, we said, Russia's so primitive. Why fear Russia? The folks are starving to death. But anyway, see, why is these things happening at such a spectacular moment? Why? Athens and the old Mars Hill thing. See, it means that something's in the wind, folks. It means something has taken place. And we just say these few little things because a few of these things are dropped on tape to go around the world, literature, whatever, because people out there don't even have a crumb when you have a freezer full. And as Brother Osborne said one time, perhaps the greatest missionary in the world, he said, I don't see why that somebody has to hear the gospel twice when somebody has never, somewhere in the world, never heard it even one time. I don't believe they have a right to do that. So then let's stand together. Take care of yourself. Jesus said, watch and pray. Won't do any good if you watch and don't pray. Won't do any good if you pray and don't watch. Watch and pray. Don't give place to the devil, because he don't like sons and daughters of God. And the Bible said, when you pray, believe, because it won't do any good if you pray and not believe. It won't do any good if you believe and not pray. So when you pray, believe. And whatever you desire in your heart, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Whatever you say, that's the way it'll be. God will give it to you. For your sons and daughters of God, and you're my children in the Lord. And I'm concerned about you, and I pray for you all the time. And especially if it should come about that we're fixing to leave, I pray for you and your parents and your loved ones, your children, husbands, wives, whatever. Pray for your prosperity. But our life has always been go. We go and we come. We go and we come. All our lives, Sister Betty and I, we've had to go, we've had to come. But in this, you pray for us. Pray for our safety. We pray for your safety. The Bible said pray one for another. I want to say again, I appreciate everything, you know, from time to time and the way that you do, and I trust you'll occupy. Jesus said, till I come, must do the offices, and the Bible teaches that to whom much is given, much is required, and to that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not, will be beaten with many stripes. And you know, so it's required of you, it's your responsibility, it's the humanity. Appreciate Gerald sending me that little key. He'd gotten it somewhere, it had to do with Mount Zion, and he said, give this to Brother Pike. Here's the key to Mount Zion. And that's great. I remember we went to Louisiana. The mayor called us and the sheriff, and they gave us some beautiful, outstanding papers. And one made us a membership, honorary membership of this thing of overthrowing dope and whatever. And I thought it phenomenal, because Bush come in right after that and began to overthrow that stuff. And we have the certificate. And then the mayor, he presented to us the key to the city. And we've had the mayor to come out to our tent meetings, place where we'd be. But we're going over there to do what little we can. It has to do with a spectacular moment. My advice to you is, if you're not right with the Lord, then you need to get right. I'm going to ask you to, while we sing a chorus or two, I'm going to give altar call, a chance for you to step up here if you'd like to. And I'll probably have to ease on out. But let's sing a chorus together. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave his son to die in their place. And he gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. Sing that with me. Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river. Someday I will see his sweet face.
With him,
I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace.